Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It's 106 in Edmonton, hour number two of Oilers Now. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you, along with Mark Spector. Oilers Now brought to you by Digitex. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. Keep texting us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street and 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday. You can also reach us on the River Cree Resort Casino hotline. Same number, 780-496-0063. The River Cree Resort Casino, excitement, bet on it. Japanese Village, open to serve you to any one of their five Edmonton and area locations featuring Alberta's own Brent Lake Wagyu. Visit jvedmonton.ca. Don and his staff will take care of you. We'll head off to the River Cree Resort Casino hotline. Sportsnet's Mark Spector for the horses and horse racing Alberta, presenting live standard bed racing Saturday at Century Mile Racetrack and Casino. Post time is at 1:15. All right, Mark, here we go. So you don't think there needs to be a coaching change, and I concur on that. I don't think the team's as bad as 2-9-2 indicates. Five of the Oilers' regulation losses have been against four, because they've lost twice to Toronto, four of the best 10 teams in the NHL. So five of the losses there. We mentioned the save percentages. The power play is at 18%. It was carrying the team early in the year. 11 defensemen used over the course of the last 13 games. These have all sort of conspired against Edmonton having any success. I don't think they're as bad as 2-9-2. That said, people want solutions. Damn it, people want change. People want. There's a certain segment out there, Mark, that always wants heads to roll. They're the first guys to jump on Twitter and try to cancel somebody at the moment's notice. These guys are all big friends. By the way, how many people have you blocked all time in your writing career?
Geez, I don't know. I blocked
over 100.
Way over 100. But I went through and gave everybody, unblocked everybody maybe a year and a half ago, and I don't know what I'm back up to now. But, oh, yeah, I've got lots of blocks, Bob, well over 100.
I'm under 50 all time, just to set the record straight. You really have to, there has to be a really negative sexual connotation with something that the individual has tweeted, like that's just rude and crass and, frankly, despicable. Or
my bar is lower than yours.
Yeah. All right. So here's the thing. Solutions. Like, you have some people and they just want to whine and complain. Like, a number of years ago, I was out with dinner and this guy decides to come over to our table and I just want to whine and complain about the team because I can't complain to anybody else. And I'm thinking, is this really the time and place to do that? Oh, well. You know, I get it. Don't get me wrong. Like, if I'm sitting by myself at the wood at a bar waiting for takeout or having a salted Caesar or Bailey's or something or a beer or a glass of whatever, I get it. It kind of comes with the territory. But there are some people, but others have solutions. We 2-9-2, not maybe a reflection of the coaching, not without factoring in the accomplishments of the previous 2.5 years. You don't want Evander Kane. I'd be prepared to investigate that myself. Just free player. So what's your solution? Is there an external solution to help improve this squad?
Oh, there's an external solution. I mean, you should go out and find, remember, let's just say for fun that your ammunition here is let's say you're going to trade a first-round pick, just for the case of this conversation. Uh-huh. You got that in your pocket. So now where are you going to spend it? You know, you're not going out and buying three players here. You're going out and you're going to get one player, and then you might find another along the way that's a lesser impact guy. But if we're going to do this, let's say, just for the course of this conversation, I got a first-round pick, I can go get one guy. So the luxury that Ken Holland has is he's got a few needs. He needs a third-line center. If I could find a classic third-line center like Phil Deneau was a year ago, I'd take him. That's my first priority. I don't think they're going to find that guy, Bob. So what I think, has, which is a lot easier here, go find yourself a top six left winger. Maybe you don't have to give up that first round pick, you know?
Where, just as an FYI, what position do you think Evander Kane would play?
He'd play left wing, and he'd tear my dressing room to shreds, Bob, and he'd make every female fan in my organization not come to the rink. That's what he'd do.
Okay.
So, I need a left winger or a right winger. I could always move. Highwind over or whatever I want to do. But I'm going to.
Highwind's the right shot playing on the left side right now.
I know. So let's say I get a left winger. I move Highwind over. Let's say I get a right winger. I need a top six winger. And what this allows me to do in my mind, if I'm building this team, Bob, is I put Ryan Nugent-Hopkins as my third line center.
Yep.
I think this team has. I think we've hit a point here, Bob, where the Edmonton Oilers have been about furnishing their top young, unbelievable star players with the best wingers they have, so they can all produce and win scoring titles, and they're not winning anything else. I think this team needs to spread it out. I think they need to have a third line with like Hyman on left wing and Nugent Hopkins at center. My new left winger can play with Draisaitl or McDavid. You still got Puljujärvi. You know, you still have Yamamoto. You make it work. You whoever my new guy is, that's what I do. I think that Draisaitl and McDavid get one good, skilled, offensive guy to work with and someone else on their line, and I have a third line that can both check and score. And to me, that's the highest priority for this team at the moment.
See, others might say the highest priority is goaltending, Mark.
Okay, that's fair.
Others, and I mean... I don't know what's realistic. Like, I know I don't want to trade the first round pick for an asset that ends at the end of the season.
Can't do it, right?
Like, Philip Forsberg, that's a dream scenario. He's a pretty good player. Like, and again, if the Oilers are sitting there, if Edmonton's 28-3-3 right now, yeah, you're contemplating trading the first round pick for Philip Forsberg. You're thinking about doing that because he's a pretty good player. And you know, maybe you can convince them. But, I mean, if you talk, basically, here's the thing, Mark. People are frustrated. They're exasperated. By the way, how many significant trades have occurred already this season?
There's really been very little. We're heading into trading season coming up here now.
There's been one big trade all year involving Jack Eichel. And the Vegas Golden Knights were prepared for him to not play for upwards of 3 to 4 months. That's been the big deal so far. So, and the Oilers have cap issues. So this is going to be, I guess I just don't see a, well, I got to ask you this, Mark. Can the Edmonton Oilers start next season with Mike Smith and Stuart Skinner as their goalies?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that at all, right? But to me, two things here, Bob. The reason I list what I just listed is I think it's pretty reasonable to go out and find an impactful top six winger on either side. I think that Ken Holland has a whole league to choose from. I bet you he can find that guy. Even trying to find the right goalie that has term, that you want to keep, you can go and get Marc-Andre Fleury, maybe. And if you did, you might have him until the end of the year and he's gone.
Yep.
So can you really go out and get that guy? If you're not giving up a first-round pick for that player, maybe you can't go out and get him. So that's why I state that a winger, at least it's a plausible trade demand. Do they need a goalie for next year? Listen, for sure. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to say about the goaltending. When Mike Smith plays, he's a really good goalie. When he's not playing, which is far too often, he's not helping you one bit.
There's another aspect when Smith plays. They're a different team.
Yeah.
They forecheck better because they spend less time in their own zone because he gets the puck up the ice. Teams soft chip and soft dump pucks on Mikko Koskinen all the time. They don't do that on Mike Smith.
They hammer pucks
around the boards on Smith because they know that he can get the puck up the ice and get them caught on their forechecks. They're a different team when Mike Smith is in the lineup.
They'd be a better team if Chris Russell was 25. But he's not anymore, right?
Yeah.
Chris Russell's hurt all the time. and can you go to war with a 40-year-old goalie next year, Bob? I mean, we're talking Jacques Plante now. Can you go to war with Jacques Plante, really? I'm not so sure you can.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Speck, stay with us. We're going to talk about something that you watched last night. You have a feeling you know what that is?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mart Spector with you, Sports Sense Bet for the horses and horse racing in Alberta. We're going to talk about modern day dynasties when we return. It's 1:15 at Edmonton.
Subscribe to the Oilers Now podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
1:16 at Edmonton. Blake from Airdrie, I don't think we've ever heard from Blake before, has texted the show to say, Bob, you're putting up a bit of a straw man when it comes to the people who want Holland to Tippett fired. The current needs of the team are the same as when Holland arrived, and we are worse than when he got here. We're in a worse cap situation, says Blake from Airdrie. And Tippett has been outcoached in the last two playoffs. Accountability would be nice. That one comes to us from Blake. Mark Spector, Sports and Spec for the horses and horse racing in Alberta, the 7,000 men and women employed in the horse racing industry. Mark, was Dave Tippett outcoached, or we gave you a stat on Thatcher Demko at 955. Do you think maybe Connor Hellebuck's 950 save percentage played a factor in the Winnipeg Jets winning three overtime games in that series?
Yeah, I don't usually buy the outcoached thing, Bob. I don't. You know what? I don't know enough about running a bench. Like, define outcoached. Right, outcoach means in-game decisions. The other guy's making smarter ones than you. He's winning every matchup. He's, you know, so we're talking about a series in which three games went to overtime. You think somebody won every matchup in three games that went into overtime and got decided how they got decided? You know, did Winnipeg make their break and win every one of those games? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. But did they win it because one coach was smarter than the other? Not a chance, Bob. Not a chance. That's fantasy, my friend. It's fantasy.
This text comes in saying the sooner you get Skinner playing alongside Smith, the better long-term Stu Skinner will be. I like what you said about the team's play being different in front of Smith. That's because they have more confidence with Smith. Well, and part of it comes from the puck handling, actually. All right, Mark, we got a lot to digest. You were texting me last night as we were watching the national championship game. And for the listeners that heard the show yesterday, it's tough to beat good teams twice in the same year in college football. In fact, the last four times going into last night's game, that in the first matchup the team won, in the second matchup the team lost, where teams have met early in the season. So there's that. There were several factors. Georgia was the number one ranked team for most of the year, but Mark, what does it say about a program which has won six of the last 13 national championships, and they've lost three national championship finals as well? So they've been there. Not like we think the Alberta Golden Bears are pretty good, right? Every year, mm-hmm. Would you agree on that? Do you know how many national titles they got in the last 13 seasons?
How many?
Three. They've been to four national championship final games. And they've won three national championships. Check that. They've been to five. And they've won three national championships. Alabama has won six of the last 13, and they've lost three others in the final. What does it say about a team when they lose six first-round draft picks the year before? This was a rebuilding season. They lose the best receiver duo in the country, their two starting quarterbacks, six of their eight scholarship athlete running backs, a starting linebacker, and they have the lead in fourth quarter of a championship game. You know what that says? They're pretty good. That's what it says. That means they've got a pretty good program going. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, no one, even the people in Georgia, if we're talking big picture, right? The Bama is by far the best program in terms of winning football games in the NCAA, has been, is. I mean, there's no, you know, you want to stretch this thing into a 60-minute, you want to talk about a 60-minute argument last night? Who's the better team? We can have that conversation.
Georgia was the better team come crunch time in that game.
Sure.
They were the better
team. This is a 10-year conversation. There is no conversation, Bob. The Bama is the best team, and that's the way it is. Like, no one out there would argue that.
The other part of it is, Mark, Alabama did not, and this is going to tie back into how we see sport. Alabama got into the red zone five times. They got one touchdown. Right? So, no, they got into the red zone six times. They got one touchdown. They had one block kick and four field goals. If they have, and it's kind of crappy for the kids, Jameson Williams, the guy that got hurt last night, was the highest-ranked receiver, according to Todd McShay, going into the draft. Like, he was at, like, a sixth or seventh overall pick before he injured, got his knee injured. And the Canadian kid, John Metchie, was probably going to be a second slash third rounder in the NFL draft. He had a great year as well. Top receiving tandem in the country. You know sport well enough to know there's no way they go 1 for 6 in the red zone if they have those guys. They just didn't have enough playmakers on the field. But it does show you how fickle sport can be at times. You know, you can sit there and people say if ands or buts were candy, you know, the old saying. But the reality of the situation is, you know, you're sitting there and there are great, like if you just were a casual observer to last night's game, you'd say, well, you know, Georgia's got 3 defensive linemen, by the way, who are supposed to go in the first round of the NFL draft this year. You'd go, man, they won the battle in the box, and they did. But it's a different game if Georgia's having to double cover guys or sit back and play a more passive defensive coverage. And that comes with the territory.
Hey, that's listen, it's why they play the game. It's why they play the game. I'm going to say Alabama has an intrinsic advantage over a lot of teams because they've earned it. Their success has earned it. How many guys on Alabama's roster were courted by Georgia and by LSU and, you know, by Oklahoma State and all those other teams? And they went to Bama because they wanted to play for Nick Saban. They wanted to play for the best team in the country, right? They wanted to be
in that. They wanted to get to the NFL. And they wanted to
get to the NFL because they're a football factory, right? That's what they are. So they have way more good players. They get way more good players. They're a better team. And then they get a couple injuries and they lose. A part of me looks at Bama and says, if there's anyone that should be able to suffer a couple injuries, it should be the deepest roster in the history of the NCAA football is in that Bama program. They got some injuries. They couldn't handle it. They lost the game. That's why we play the game ball, right? That's why how Vegas
is right two starting cornerbacks, two starting wide receivers. Did you see Saban after the game? Because the quarterback took a lot. I mean, Bryce Young won the Heisman Trophy, and he said, they've got a defensive end who's probably the closest player to Lawrence Taylor that we've seen coming out of college football. He's a sophomore this year, so he's got another year of football to play. He's going to be, both guys are back at Alabama next season. And he said, don't evaluate these guys based on tonight. Evaluate them based on the body work. There are people down there that will tell you of the 15 years that he's coached the team, this was his 11th or 12th best team. And now here's where I'm going to go. Is there another, and I want the listeners to jump in here. You can take, this isn't, you know, I know people, you know, right now a lot of people are hating on the Oilers or, hey, this has got to be all Oilers all the time. But put your thinking caps on. Over the last 13 seasons, Spec, or over the last 15 years, can you name another team in any level that's been that good? You know, 6 national championships, 3 losses. So they've been to the national championship final 9 of the last 13 years and won 6 of them. Has there been anybody else in sport that's got that type of record? I mean,
obviously not. No, nobody.
Like, is it impossible to do in professional sport because of free agency?
Well, because of a million things, Bob. Come on. The NCAA doesn't equate with any professional league. There are no salary caps, for instance. There are no salaries. How can you put up a school, you know, I don't know what Alabama's educational priority.
It would be light in the ass in comparison to Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
All right?
There you go.
So they can get a lot of kids in.
Sure, they have a lot of kids. They get any kid they want in. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. There is no more proven corruption inside any sports league in America in the last 50 years than inside the NCAA, right? The NCAA has been rife with straw man jobs.
Mark, Saban's tenure, he has not received significant admonishment from the NCAA at any point.
Okay, good for him. But my point is, you're asking me to judge who's the least slippery among a pool full of eels, Bob. Right? Seriously, the NCAA? Come on, man. They've put 80,000 people in there. They still don't pay their players anything. Just this year, didn't they start to give them some jersey rights, I think?
Yeah, it's called NIL. And like the quarterback, Bryce Young, he's going to make big money. Like
they should make big money. They're selling his likeness.
Yeah.
Right?
What are
selling his likeness.
It's an interesting, and people can text us at 780-496-0063, Ashley Fine Floors text line. Over the last, say, 15 years, last 13 years, name another program in another sport that's been, you might argue U.S. women's hockey. I bet you they've probably won in the lot. Now, they haven't won at all. They're the reigning women's championship in 2018.
Yeah.
Canada beat them in 0-2, 6-10, and 14 when it mattered.
You can't compare women's hockey. It's not a deep enough pool. There's only two teams.
Right.
You know, and there's, like, and if Bama and Georgia were the only two teams in NCAA football, we could have the conversation.
Well, I mean,
there's about 30 other teams that are good, too.
LSU won 3 years ago, or 2 years ago. Alabama won last year, and Georgia won this year. They're all in the same conference. So they're not even the conference. They're not even the team that's had the best recruiting class. That guy's at Texas A&M going in. They've had the best recruiting class for the upcoming year. So I for me, it's interesting. And Mark, it was the way Saban, and it showed you the evolution of a guy that people can change. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that make harsh judgments on individuals and say, this guy's a terrible guy. This guy's an ass. You can never have, we can't have this guy in a, a lot of people used to call Nick Saban Nick Satan, and he's a different. He used to believe in smash mouth football and tough defense, and now they're running a spread option offense. And you know what? When his team's down and his players are down, he's loving them up. He's helping pick them up off the curb when they're sitting there down in the dumps. I'm not sure he was always like that, and I wonder if there's a lesson that the smartest people continuously evolve, Mark.
Sure. I mean, I guess so. I don't know Nick Saban well enough, pal. But, you know, are you going with that, Bob? Are we back?
Do you think we're going to go back to Vander Kane here?
Is that what you're telling me? Is that where we're going here?
I guess, you know what, when you're close to it, and like all the Oilers can do, I think we'll leave you with this, Mark. Ken Holland said at the end of the interview, we have to dig in. That's what he said about the team. The team has to dig in. They've gone mm-hmm. through a bad stretch. They got to come out of this COVID situation. It's that simple. I just asked you for external solutions, and you said they need to get a third line center or a top six winger. That's the solutions that you have had. For most people out there, they might look at goaltending. You don't want to give up the first round draft choice. At the end of the day, they're just going to have to dig in and figure it out. That's what's going to have to happen.
When Ken Holland says it's got to come from the group we have, what he's saying is, I can add a guy, maybe two. But he can't add 18 guys. If the core of this team, right, if the core of this team can't figure it out, can't find a way to play the right type of hockey, to keep the puck out of their net, to you know, not go on 5- and 6-game slides all the time, you don't bring in all the guys you want, Bob. It's not going to change. It does have to come from this. Darnell Nurse, Connor McDavid, right? Leon Draisaitl, Zach Hyman, all these guys. You know, Duncan Keith. They're the ones you can add to that pile of players for sure and improve that group of players. But it's that group. If they can't do it, bringing in a guy or two, I don't care what their name are.
All right.
It won't change it.
Mark, great stuff. Thanks for your time, buddy.
All right, Bobby.
Three quick hitters. I asked listeners, give me some teams. Howie says, what about the Alberta Golden Bears? We talked about that. This texter says, Bob, the New England Patriots under Bill Belichick. Well, we all know how close Belichick and Nick Saban are. Another texter, Jarrett says, Bob, UConn women's basketball. Over to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. Back with Alan May when we return.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon. On Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.